A reading from the first book of Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know yet the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So we continue in the season of Epiphany. Manifestation. Something revealed to us suddenly. A deeper understanding is given. And the sequence of readings for Sundays in January will follow this theme, things being revealed. And when God reveals things to us, they usually take us by surprise. God, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, is a God of surprises. The surprise today is God revealing God's self by speaking to a young boy called Samuel, who was under the teaching of an experienced priest. How could it be that the message for this priest, this man of prayer, and yet God speaks to the priest through a little boy? The Bible doesn't tell us his age, but other historical documents would suggest Samuel was about age 12. And by the way, when Samuel finally knows what to say, God gives a rather unpleasant message to pass on to Eli. I'll let you check your Bibles to see what that message was. A surprise then. God speaking through this little boy, Samuel, to Eli the priest. In the darkness of night, I've heard you, Lord. We sang, didn't we? Calling in the night. Well, the next one is in the middle of the day. Nathanael, a man of prayer, sitting under the shade of his fig tree, pondering, praying about the forthcoming expectation of a Messiah. And what was the surprise for Nathanael? Well, this Messiah, this man of God, chosen one of God, is coming from Nazareth, a place not even mentioned in Hebrew scripture. How could it possibly be that someone so important as the Messiah should come from a place so anonymous, an insignificant backwater? These events are very special, very direct experiences of God, which are not every day in our experience. But God is always communicating. God calls constantly. And experiences of God happen now. They haven't stopped. It's just that perhaps this experience Samuel had, and obviously Nathanael meeting Jesus face to face, are not the type of experiences we would become accustomed to. But people do have experiences, we just don't get to hear about them. It seems to me that seeking God's presence is one way of being more open to God communicating to us. If we, with patience, move away from the noise of everyday life. And then there's that gift of invitation. That's another factor in being more open to God's communication. Remember, Samuel was in that temple because he'd been taken there by his mother as soon as he was weaned from her milk, because he was an unexpected gift from God and she promised to dedicate him back to God. And so he went to live in the temple as a tiny young boy or infant and grew up with Eli the priest. Samuel was in that place, if you like, where he was more open perhaps to the Spirit of God. God's house. Nathanael. What about Nathanael? Well, his was a different kind of invitation. He wasn't taken by his mother. He had a friend, Philip, who was filled with enthusiasm at meeting Jesus. And he goes to tell Nathanael, and Nathanael says, "What? Nazareth?" I'm sure we've made similar comments ourselves about certain places. I remember in my workplace working for a manager who was, I got on really well with actually, we had a great working relationship, but he used to joke that where I lived in Stockport, they had rear gunners on the milk floats. Now we know that's not true, but you know what I mean. We have these preconceptions about places. Of course, it's good in every place. The salt of the earth is there. The salt of the earth was in Nazareth. And Philip's so enthusiastic. He can't believe it. You know, I've met this one, the one Moses was told about and the prophets told us. Do you not want to come? Nah, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Stories of God's call and intervention, which in the everyday business of our lives is less dramatic, but is always there. Like the boy Samuel, we have to learn to recognise when God is seeking to speak to us, when we're being led in a particular way. Like Nathaniel, it's learning not to have preconceptions about people, places, or a situation. There have been countless occasions in my ministry when I feel God's hand is involved, when a mistake has been avoided. Something just happens. And it just seems to me that because things have been prayed for, that God's will work out in this situation. It's not just good luck when these things happen. And the gospel today involves friendship. And being completely honest, and I was told when I came into the ministry that friends would disappear, and I don't think that's because people fell out with me or thought to become some kind of weird kind of person. I just think it's part of life, actually, when you move to something new or different, circles change. And so, I don't have too many close friends. But even those close friends have, I'm rubbish at keeping in touch with them. I think that's actually more a man thing, to be honest. Would the men agree or not? Yeah? I don't think we're particularly good at keeping in touch. One of my mates is always messaging me and I always reply back, but I need to learn to actually reach out to him more. I suppose I'm blessed with family around me as well, which helps. But perhaps I need to become more intentional about keeping those friendships going. Perhaps I need to make sure that I've got friends who I speak to beyond the family of the church, who keep me in touch with what's going on, to share news, see how things are going. Friendships need communication to keep them alive and fresh. So if we need communication to keep our human friendships alive and fresh and to keep that communication two-way, doesn't it stand to reason the same applies to God? When we think about friendship with God, what? We can be a friend? Well, Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer, I call you friends. And he said to his apostles, I will always be with you. So Jesus is our friend, wants to be our friend. And like all good friends, he is interested in you, helps you out, looks out for you, wants the best for you. That's God's friendship for you and I. He wants to know the deepest secrets in your heart when things are not going well. When things are going well, you share your experience of life with friends. Why not share it with the Lord of glory too? Because a good friend may call on us, phone us up, message us, even write a letter. A good friend wants to know how we're doing and will help us in difficult circumstances. think Jesus is saying he's prepared to do those same things too. We're not his servants. Well, we are actually. He doesn't call us servants, but we are his servants. But we're his friend too. If our everyday friends in the everyday ordinary aspects of our lives are there and sharing those things, then the same applies to Christ. God's call comes to us all the time. A call from God is close to us and not far away. A friend may love you in the Christian sense of loving. And in the same way, God loves, Jesus loves, and cares for you. It's about learning to recognize when God is speaking. It's learning, like Samuel, to acknowledge and hear God's call. Eli must have had some experience in the past. When Samuel came that third time, saying, "Master, you called me," Eli obviously knew then what the boy was hearing. The voice of God. And Eli knew what the boy needed to do. If he speaks again, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." If you ever get that sense of the presence of God and feel moved to say words like that, be prepared for a surprise. Be open to God's call in your everyday life, in the more obvious and the discreet. Don't allow preconceptions or prejudice to get in the way, like Nathaniel did. But by the way, Nathaniel had a complete reversal, didn't he? He was changed back when he met Jesus. You know, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. It's a dump. There's nothing good there at all. You, Rabbi, are the Son of God. One thing I came to realise in Lectio Divina on Tuesday night just suddenly dawned on me. Maybe you know already. You know, we make this thing about Peter, the rock of the church. Peter, this great discovery, and he did. He acknowledged Jesus as a Messiah at Caesarea Philippi. But Nathanael was the first apostle to recognise who Jesus is. All because Jesus saw him under a fig tree and could read into his mind. So Nathanael went from there to there. He was open to being changed. Are we open to change? Don't put God in a pigeonhole. Don't file him God away where you think God fits. Be prepared to be surprised. Be intentional in your friendship with Christ. And if so, you may receive epiphanies, both small and great. And as well as Jesus, think about your friendships, your human friendships. Perhaps it's not one you've spoken to for some time. May your friends remind you that God is calling you to listen, to grow in friendship, and to walk the same path of servanthood that Jesus did. Amen.